It's about 10 minutes till 10. Before we get started, first of all, I want to recognize people at the table. Senator Wilkins, Senator Ward, Senator Lehman, Senator Donnelly, Senator Hoffman, Senator Osterman, Senator Green, and myself, Senator Kelly. Dave, is Senator Olson coming? He's, and Senator Olson will be here momentarily. Before we get started, we have a number of children of people who work in government here. And if the camera could turn to the gallery there, slowly but surely, smile, Gary, it's on you. And if you could just stand up and introduce your children to the camera, please. Go ahead, start from the left there. There you go.
Hi, my name is Terry Campbell, and I work for the Department of Education and Early Development, and I have my friend and neighbor, Tasha Mead, with me today because her parents were unable to take her to work.
All right. Hello, Tasha. Go ahead.
My name is Candace Brower, and I work for the Department of Corrections, and this is my daughter, Annie Brower.
Hi.
I'm Cindy Cashin with Mothers Against Gun Driving, and these are two of my three children, Sam Cashin and Donna Cashin.
How about you two in the back there? Is there three of you? I can't tell.
Two.
I'm Carter Flesh. I'm going to the middle.
How you doing? And a little more to the right there, and that's...
My name's Doug Wolver. I work for the Alaska Court System. This is my daughter, Jessica.
Representative Rookberg, do you want to come up and any final comments on your bill?
My name is Chairman Norman Rookberg, District 11 Anchorage, and I appreciate your work, Mr. Chairman, and the committees on this. Senator Donnelly's got minor amendments and drafting thing that I'd ask for. Other than that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be delighted to see this moving along, and I have a bill on the floor here in a few minutes. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wolver, could you come up and maybe present the court's position on this bill, please?
Watch you bring that.
Yes, I'm with you there. Big shot with the court system, Jeslin. You'll be sitting at that table, too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Doug Wolver. I'm an administrative attorney for the Alaska court system. Although I haven't seen the draft amendments, the way the bill sits right now, our fiscal note still stays at zero with the latest changes and the provisions that more clearly define the therapeutic court and the sidebars on that program. We don't have any problems with those, and they're probably a good idea. So the court doesn't... at this point, have any concerns with this bill?
Thank you, Ben. Any questions for the court system? Thank you for your testimony. Quickly, going to go to the teleconference sites in Anchorage. Gary Hennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Carrie Hennings with Division of Motor Vehicles. Just wanted to broach two quick concerns. One was the SR-22 cost with the extended period on the SR-22 insurance requirements. We see this as $4,000 to $6,000 per year for an average family of four with one child of driving age. Right now, first offense, this SR-22 is carried for 3 years. And the second offense would increase to $6,000 to $7,000 per year. And third offense, this becomes a phenomenal amount of money. We understand that our concern is that the cost may affect drivers from being unable to secure their licenses, and we have more uninsured drivers on the road. At the very least, with first offenders being lengthened to 5 years, many of these first offenders know they've done something stupid. It is their first offense. They haven't, the numbers do drop after that. And we were hoping that they could have a light at the end of the tunnel. And we will at least be able to keep the first offense at the 3 year period. Basically, that's all we have to add to this today.
Any questions or comments? That was Marty Giesen or Carrie Hennings? That was
Carrie Hennings.
Okay, Carrie. And Marty is not going to testify? All right.
That's correct. Marty, I believe.
Okay. And Ms. Wilson from Public Defender's Office?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did testify before in regards to this bill generally. Didn't get to any specifics. However, the agency, just sort of to summarize with the changes, there are significant increased penalties in this new Q version that is before you today. It increases the mandatory minimum fines for misdemeanor DUI 6 times the current amount in graduated increments for first much more repeated offenders. It significantly increases the mandatory minimum fine for felony DUI refusal from $5,000 to $10,000. It doubles it. Also allows for the permanent revocation of a felony for a felony DUI or refusal of your license. Doubles the reinstatement fee for repeat DUI and refusal offenders. And also requires when you register your vehicle after a conviction that you do have to maintain that proof of insurance, as the spokesperson for DMV mentioned. All of these increased penalties, in addition to the mandatory vehicle forfeiture for felony DUI refusals, are certainly very significant. In the wake of the legislation from last year, the lowering of the alcohol limit from 0.10, 0.10 to 0.08, the increase in the look back period, the elimination of the look back period for prior convictions, all of these increases are substantial. It is our advice to you to wait and see what the effects of the legislation are from last year towards recidivism before you enact any further measures in this area. And I am available for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, in the committee room with us today is Don Dapsovich. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair,
members of the committee. For the record, my name is Don Dapsovich. I'm a consultant with the Department of Health and Social Services Division of Alcoholism. We want to thank Representative Roepberg for the work that he's done on this bill over the past 2 years, as well as other alcohol and other drug-related initiatives that he's put forward. The department and the division have no fiscal note attached to this bill, as there are no additional requirements placed on the division for service delivery. However, we want to sound a cautionary note. The budget that you have proposed before you has a significant decrease in the grant delivery system. And that will result in denigration of service delivery system, the comprehensiveness of the service delivery system across the state. And whatever you put in any legislation regarding drunk drivers assumes a quality service delivery system for treatment. Without good treatment, none of this will work. You can lock people up for year after year after year if you don't treat the cause of the problem. You're not going to have success.
And if you don't have a good treatment delivery system to treat these folks that are involved in driving infractions, we'll never solve this problem. So I do want to sound that caution. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Hearing none. Call brief at ease. Okay, Senator Ward, you wanted to offer an amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move amendment number 18.
TJ.
Mr. Chairman.
There's a new committee substitute that needs to be adopted.
That's true.
Oh. Mr. Chairman, I would move the adoption of the Q version of House Bill number 4. That's the Ford 42202 version.
Are there objections? Just for the committee's information, that Q version adopts all the discussion that we had a week ago on this bill to fix up some of the problems. Without objection, that version is adopted. Senator Ward.
Mr. Chairman, I have just changed through mine. However it fits into the bill, the meaning's still the same. I would move amendment number 18 to version Q, even though my draft says E.
Does it work, Senator Ward?
Same page number.
Yes. I hope so. If not, then I will do it as a conceptual amendment.
Could you check that out, please? We'll check it out. If you want to go ahead and
explain that one. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I decided to do this here because I believe this is committee work, and whether it's passes or not, this is the place that we ought to make this decision. After listening to drunk driving legislation for the last 20 years and I'm still wrestling with it and going to wrestle with it, and alcohol in general, this half-inch thing is not in itself going to stop many people that decide to drink and keep going. What I am doing with this amendment is I'm identifying that there are some people, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Chairman, in society that are alcoholics, and they're a problem. And one major problem is not when they have a drink themselves, but when they drink and get behind a car and kill people and hurt them. And what this amendment does, Mr. Chairman and committee members, it says that when you drive a commercial vehicle, you cannot have a 0.04 alcohol blood content. When you fly an airplane, you cannot have a 0.04 blood alcohol content. What that means is if you are going to take a drink, you legally can take a drink. You just can't get behind the steering mechanism of a commercial vehicle or an airplane. What this does, this amendment says, if you have been arrested and convicted for drunk driving, nothing happens under this amendment. If you've been arrested and convicted twice for drunk driving, nothing happens under this amendment. But the third time, you'll be under the jurisdiction and so identified upon your sentencing the second time that you are now under a 0.04, the same as a commercial airplane plane person, a pilot, or a commercial truck driver. And this, Mr. Chairman, this treats that person like an alcoholic, because as testified from the judge from the wellness court, we have a system where we tell people you can't have a drink for 18 months. Goes through the whole thing, can't have a drink. Then, magically, on 18 months and 1 minute, they say, you can then go up to 0.08, which means you can have that first drink. Mr. Chairman, an alcoholic cannot have that first drink. This says that if you have that first drink, you can't drive, and it would be clearly understood, and I think that until I knew that it was legal to do this, which I didn't know, I had always thought that we should somehow ban those people that are out and killing people and running them over and hurting them from ever drinking again. And granted, I think the testimony is pretty clear. Almost anybody can get a DWI. You can't. It's an easy thing to happen. I think it's a lot harder for upstanding citizens that understand the ramification of that first DWI to get the second one. Mr. Chairman and committee members, I propose to you that if you get a third one, you're an alcoholic and you're a drunk. And I don't want to give them three chances. So after two times, I'm saying I want them to go to .04, and if they have a drink, they cannot drive. Under current legislation, after two DWIs, you can have a drink and drive. And I'm telling you right now, you cannot, as an alcoholic, have a drink and stop. It's the first drink that puts you into peril and the citizens into peril. So, yes, this is treating three-time DWIs like an alcoholic. It says you can't have a drink. Because under .08 right now, you can have a drink. And I'm telling you, Mr. Chairman, committee members, they can't stop at one drink. If they could, then I wouldn't be proposing this. So I'd be glad to try to answer questions, but I think that it's time we quit coddling and playing with these people.
Thank you, Senator Wood. Just a moment. I'll take a break at ease. One of the things that I'm concerned about is the potential fiscal impact of this. We've had so many iterations of this bill in committee. We've had CS after CS after CS. It was my intention today, after our lengthy discussion last week, including a brief discussion about this and whether we wanted to incorporate this in this bill, to have the CS and put it out today. If Ms. Carpenter, could you come up and talk to us a little bit about potential fiscal impacts that you might see? No, it's short notice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Annie Carpenter. You know, I haven't seen this amendment till 5 minutes ago, but it does create conduct a crime that is not currently a crime. So I would assume that there would be significant fiscal impact, but I'm in no position to say how many cases or what it would be. There's no time limit looking back on two or more like there is for felony. So it would make conduct criminal that is not currently against the law. So I would assume it would have a fiscal impact, but I can't help you any more than that.
Mr. Chairman.
Your word.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many three-time DWI drivers do we currently have on a yearly basis?
I'm sorry, I'm not prepared to answer those questions. I was told we weren't going to be testifying today. We would be here to answer questions. I know we have that information in
I think
my
they
office.
Have it there.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ward, Robert. The Department of Public Safety has got 2,506 for 10 years, so there's approximately 250 per annum on a 10-year average. Looking back, you're
250 per year of
on three. A 10-year average, looking backwards.
A three-time?
Third arrest.
That's third. Not necessarily the number that would be incarcerated or in violation of the law under this amendment. That's what's currently occurring. And
it's 6%.
The real question would be how many three-time DWI or more get pulled over, have below a .08 but above a .04? And I don't know if you're going to get a good...
Well, these stats are all based on the .10 look back. So, and the evidence is not in... If the incidents, we figured a 5% increase, which in a short period of time is increased, which is proving out so far.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. I had figured that it was probably going to be about 50 people myself, but I don't even think it'll be that many because, Mr. Chairman, these people that are killing and hurting people can't take a first drink. That is the problem. They are alcoholics. They take a first drink, and we legally say you can take a first drink. They're going to do that, and they're going to drive. The problem is they can't stop. And now that I know it's legal, after two DWIs, the third one, I say, don't take a drink. To heck with you. I don't want them hurting any more people.
Senator Lehman.
Chairman, Senator Ward, I'm inclined to support this. And I agree with you know, a lot of things you're saying. However, I just want to be sure that exceeding 0.04% isn't the only way you can get a conviction for DUI. I believe currently 0.08 is presumed.
That's correct.
I guess it's DWI now, and it would be DUI under the new, but there's another way to get a conviction. It would be through demonstrated incapacity, impairment, and things like that. I just want to make sure that we could get a conviction for DUI if somebody could be conceivably under 0.04 and we could still get a conviction for a DUI.
Chairman?
Go ahead, Senator Warren.
Thank you. And no, it doesn't stop any of that. And what this does, just so everybody understands, we're dealing with a person that is not capable of taking a first drink, and they take the first drink and they have given up sobriety and they're back into the cycle of it, and that's when they drive and they hurt people. So we as a lawmakers now under this bill, we're saying to those people with over two DWIs, go ahead and take that first drink. And I'm telling you, as a lay person that has been involved in alcohol abuse and in the sobriety movement, that does not work for these people. And yes, there may be one or two of them that aren't alcoholics, but I don't care if they get caught up in it. They shouldn't have got two DWIs.
I'm going to just make a quick comment here on the amendment. Senator Ward, you are the best committee member for backup in your packets, being here on time, telling me when you're not going to be here. So I give you a lot of latitude. But we have hashed this bill over and over. My staff has worked on iteration after iteration after iteration, being here late at night, time after time after time on this bill. I told the committees, or I told the departments, I wasn't going to have amendments today because I asked everybody. And this, we've only had this for 5 minutes. Please don't do this to me again. Senator Ward, go ahead, because I will give you that last.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And what I did is I had this amendment, and I thank you for this, and I was going to introduce it on the floor and let everybody vote for it one way or the other. And I have kind of had a policy, try to do committee work in committees. And so this morning is when I saw the size of this thing, and we are now telling people you can go ahead and do all this stuff, and after wellness court and everything else, you are now legal to go have a drink. And I, in my heart, know that doesn't work. It does not work, Mr. Chairman. And we are going to tell people legally to have that drink, and it's going to cause people to die. And well, so I just want to vote on it. And so that at least, and I understand how alcoholism works. And so I need to at least vote on this safeguard that I know works. And that first drink and not taking it works.
But if I could, Laura, if you could get somebody from public safety, just I'd like the committee to at least know the fiscal impact of this before we pass it on. It won't draft to the Q version, but we're just going to have to make conforming.
If it passes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, but it, we're just going to have to make a conforming motion to take care of that. We'll get deep. We'll give you the full shot here, so we know what we're doing, and see if this amendment passes. But if we get off the amendment, if you could withdraw the amendment for now.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion to withdraw the amendment number 18 and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any other, Senator Hoffman?
Yes, I think that the person may not get his third DWI if we would more aggressively fund the alcohol and drug abuse programs, you know, and that's another way of looking at it to save lives, you know, stop them from getting to that stage by adequately addressing their disease.
I do not disagree with that.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Donovan.
You want me to do Q1? There's Q1, Q2,
oh, Q3, the technical.
In front of us.
No.
These are the technical amendments.
Well, no, there's actually number 16 and 17 in the packets, so Q2 and Q3, which are. One is the requirement to show proof to have an insurance card in your vehicle and allowing local governments to enforce it.
Senator Donnelly, I think at the last meeting we had talked about doing that in a separate bill. And I think that's what we should probably do. That's a whole separate issue. Appreciate if you'd withdraw that.
What this is really different.
We had some pretty big discussions about what was going in and out of this bill last time, and I would appreciate it if we made that in another bill, because we had consensus at this committee that it should probably be another bill.
Well, how this is different than the last proposal was, this doesn't require proof of insurance at time of motor vehicle registration. So it's a really big difference. And there's also Q3, which is just a technical amendment that the Department of Law, I'm sure, supports and needs to be provided for.
Let me take a brief at ease.
Mr. Chairman, number 19 in the members' packets is Q1, which is by the request of the sponsor. I would move number 19.
Are there objections? Hearing none, Q1 is adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Number 17 in the members' packets is Q3, and that is a conforming for the existing. It's just to conform the provisions in the existing CES to existing law. So I'd move number 17.
Are there objections? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, do we have a revised total on the fiscal note for this bill as it is currently?
Yes, we'll go through that right now, too.
Thank you.
If you look in your packets, the fiscal notes that are still in play, is that a good way to describe it, Ron? Are courts 415. Date at 0. Public safety dated 410 at 105.5. Corrections dated 424 at 100. Health and social services dated 41 at 0. Law, which was revised by Senate Finance at 424 date, was 138,000. And admin for both motor vehicles and public defenders at 424 is 59.4 for motor vehicles and 135.6 for public defender, for a total of 538.5. And then the revenue projected by the Department of Law and the projected revenue of 347,500 by the Division of Motor Vehicles, HB4 generates 347.5. Okay. That's true. Probably more than 347,000, because law is indeterminate and motor vehicles is 347,000. So that 538,000 is not a net.
Just trying to keep up here with the tally.
Representative Roper.
Mr. Chairman, if I could hear from you, we've made some recommendations to the committee that they could, if they wanted to make some adjustments in the Department of Law and the Public Defender's budget. But, Mr. Chairman, I would point out that there's approximately $8 million worth of indeterminate fines in this bill. And that's, as far, you know, in the worst case scenario, this is going to be a gap closer. There's at least $2 or $3 million of collectible revenue in this bill, and therefore I think the conference committees can certainly work through this and it passes the red face test. And that's the trouble. We cannot get anything but indeterminate notes. And with the increase in the fine alone, as I testified before, on the first offense DUI, projected increase from $250 to $1,500 has got a gross revenue impact of $5.6 million. And even if you adjust it down, worst case scenarios by discounting collections, municipal collections, and so forth, is worth $1.3 million just on that one item. So I think there's a lot, there's significant revenue in this bill.
We could even probably assume that the revenue will overwhelm any fiscal impact that Senator Ward's amendment will have.
You could, yeah, or even add some money to the wellness court and pick up the Senator Ward's amendment, whether you, albeit there's some structural problems with that I've discovered on reading it. It's a lifetime deal unless we modify the amendment. I'll talk to Senator Ward about that.
Senator Osterman?
I'm a little confused. I need to wait till I get a chance.
But you'll get a copy of the fiscal note notes that I have there.
It's about $500,000.
About $500,000.
Yeah, but the point is that there could be a lot more revenue come in that's just indeterminate. But the actual cost right now is projected to be $500,000 a year.
But if I might, the net cost even on the notes is only $133,000 because this generates over $400,000 in revenue even on the fiscal.
So it is a net.
Well, it's going to be positive.
$133,000 is not in there. It is net.
Yeah, that's correct.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, my concern is that, you know, we've just gone through some pretty tight twisting and turning and trying to come up with a budget based upon not spending more than we did last year. And I just want to make sure that this doesn't mean that another $500,000 is going to come out of the fishing game budget, because we're going to continue to push these bills through that have these types of bills.
Well, I think you're a zero on this, but it is indeterminate. You're only $138,000 net. $138,000, is that what you said?
$133,000
net because of the revenue that's in the bill.
Or in the notes.
In the what?
Higher fee fines.
So it's a $538,000, what is it? I don't have my note there. 500 and how much?
538
minus expense. And there's a revenue of $347,000 at least, which brings it down to $133,000 net.
That's 400
probably.
The chairman, the revenues are 404,000, 404.7 in the note.
Representative Roper, I don't think you're talking about the same note that we have from the Senate Finance.
Well, the public safety has 57.2 and motor vehicles had 347.5 in the last notes I had. There was two revenue stories.
Oh, yeah, revenue. Yeah. Senator.
Mr. Chairman, are we, this conversation, is this about Senator Ward's amendment?
No.
The effect of, okay.
No.
All right, thank you.
I was just making the comment that with the indeterminate revenue that we'll probably get from this bill, whatever fiscal impact Senator Ward's amendment has, I could be wrong. I don't think it's huge. I just wanted the committee to be aware of it, and that's why we're waiting on TPS. They're not here yet. Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sure we will get more fines, but that shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should be to get less fines so we have less people driving drunk. And that's why I think we should be probably looking at funding the alcohol and drug abuse program more. You know, our goal shouldn't be to ignore that problem and then catch the people on their third offense and then throw them in jail. Or, you know, that might be after one or two deaths that Senator Ward is concerned about. Our concern should be to try to rectify the problem. And the problem, you know, it's early in the process, and I'm aware of that, but the hours are getting late, and there still exists a big hole in the alcohol and drug abuse department to the tune of some $3 million. And getting to Mr. Dapsovich's testimony, this bill may have impact on him and other departments that are in here, and there are still gaps in those departments. So we can say that there's going to be revenue measures coming in, and this bill probably doesn't give me great concern. But we're going at it on the wrong end of the spectrum. You know, it's good to be tough on crime, but we need to give those people a chance before they become criminals and before they kill somebody, not after the fact. That's the concern that I have.
Senator Donnelly.
Mr. Chairman, we, in the proposal that's before the committee this afternoon on the operating budget, we've increased funding to courts, we've increased funding from last year to public safety, we've increased funding to corrections, and of course our difficulty is that we do need a three-quarters vote to access the constitutional budget reserve. Senator Hoffman, if we put last year's funding of alcohol in treatment programs into the budget, would you be willing to give us your vote for the three-quarters vote?
It certainly will be one of them, Mr. Chairman.
Well, that's something we might be able to talk about, because of course we need to utilize that, you know, an additional source of funds for that. But of course it depends on how much you're willing to prioritize this. You've expressed this concern several times. If this is your priority, we might be able to work on that, towards that, with your cooperation towards accessing those funds. If we know early enough, so we can try to find alternative fund sources to keep us below last year's spending still. But if it's just one thing of a list of 200 things, then it's going to be very difficult to do. If you feel really strongly about this, I'd be willing to offer that to you.
And I'm sure that I can be willing to keep my list well under the 200 that you asked about.
Well, if we keep it down more around the $3 or $4 or $5 million range, it might be possible.
Okay. Ms. Grimes on teleconference, do you have testimony?
Yes, I'm here. I don't have, I was waiting for an amendment, and I don't have that in front of me yet. I was available for questions about the fiscal note, but it sounds like the figures were already put out, and I think they understand the revenue part of it, but I am available for questions on that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Senator Ward?
Would it be the intent of the chair, would you like me to do this amendment on the floor instead of in the committee?
Ms. Grimes, you said you don't have the fiscal note or the amendment in front of you.
No, sir, I don't have it yet. I'm waiting for it.
Okay. Jessica, could you fax her a copy of that, please? Thank you. I'm going to withdraw this bill for a few minutes. We'll work on another bill, come back to it, get this question answered. So your amendment is actually withdrawn, so we don't have an amendment before us, correct?
I have withdrawn the amendment, yes. Let's go ahead. That's what the chair had asked me.
Just close this up for a few minutes. We'll come back to it. Ms. Grimes?
Yes, sir.
We're going to go ahead and fax that to you and give you a little bit of time to look over that. And I know it's short notice. I'd just like a rough indication of potential fiscal impact on this amendment, please.
Yes, sir. No problem. I'll let you know when I receive it.
Thank you. Okay. Water Use Act, HB 421. Hi, Ms. Juhas. I hope that's not your testimony.
No, that's my backup.
It's fairly short.
Just beat Roper.
If you did beat Roper.
Just been Roper.
Just been Roper. Just move it.
Go ahead, Ms. Uhas, present your testimony. State your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jennifer Uhas, and I am committee staff to Representative Beverly Masick, who is co-chair of the House Resources Committee. And the members have before them copies of House Bill 421. The title has changed since it was in the House. It's been a little bit more specific. The sponsor of the bill agreed to the legislation after research was done regarding House Bill 185's passage last year and some questions regarding water use, water appropriation, and water rights. Shortly after interim, the department published some new regulations, held some meetings. I was tasked with doing some research on those issues and found overwhelming public testimony that people were not able to have access to their records, and they were upset with the process, that it was haphazard, that water rights were being given to people who had applied before other people, and this is a response to that. This bill directs the department to develop a standardized procedure for adjudicating water rights and appropriating water use, and to make records available to the public.
Thank you, Ms. Uhas. Senator Wilkin.
Mr. Chairman, you'll remember in Fairbanks when we had the Ester Dome problem 3 years ago. I was involved in that. And at that time, I found what a rat's nest this whole water rights problem is in Alaska. So whenever you're ready to move this bill, I'd love to move it.
Senator Wilkin, we can move it fairly quickly. Senator Lehman has an amendment to it that we're working on right now. Senator Lehman, is there any chance of getting that today?
It's possible. I think we're working on the budget, and it's been real tough to get it together, but we're working with Senator Helfert on an amendment, and I believe
the copy of
it, and probably can work constructively on it. We may be able to have it even by this afternoon.
Make that a rule?
Good, or
see that then. I've seen it. It isn't, I've seen the intent of it. It is.
We want to do
it. Dramatic. It's not okay. We'll hold it. Any other questions? You must.
This is the Finance Committee, and one issue that the sponsor would like the Finance Committee to discuss, at least, is the fiscal note attached by the department. The department received $300,000 last year, is expected to receive an extra $300,000 this year, specifically for addressing the backlog in the water rights adjudication program. And the sponsor believes that the $75,000 can be taken out of that pool and that the extra $75,000 is not needed.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Loeffler?
Mr. Chairman.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine and ready to either testify or answer whatever questions you have.
Go ahead and present your testimony and state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you. My name is Bob Loeffler. I'm the director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. And we're the Division of DNR, which oversees the Water Rights Program. And we do support the bill. We of course, make public records available to the public, anyone who requests them. We do have an antiquated computer system, however, and it's difficult to get summaries of that information. We have the computer system is sort of designed for the 1970s, if you will. It's time to bring it up to the 21st century. What this bill would do is would require us to put the information on the web and would provide us $75,000, which really goes right through my division to someone else for programmers to do so. I'm happy to answer any questions you have about the fiscal note, although I will note that we expect to have full staff to address the backlog next year. And if we took $75,000 out of next year's budget, that would mean laying someone off. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Senator Lehman.
Ms. Loeffler, could you just explain to the committee what you've done with the $300,000 increment we gave you last year?
Yes, sir. $300,000 increment that you gave us last was to address, to bring the water rights to the point where by the end of this fiscal year, a new water right, a typical new water right, we would get within 60 days, we would process within 60 days, and a typical temporary water use, we would process within 20 days. And then a portion of that, we would be addressed the backlog. I'm quite pleased to say that we've got everybody but one hired, and since between January and the end of March, we were able to process 100 water rights. To put that into perspective, that's approximately the same number we processed all of fiscal year 02. In March, we processed, in April, we processed approximately between 40 and 50 water rights. So I believe that while we still have one more person to hire, I believe that the legislature is finally getting a return on its investment. And I expect to hit the performance measures that we promised by the end of the fiscal year.
Senator Wilkin. Mr. Chairman, Bob, you heard my comments about Estradome. Just briefly, had this legislation been in place 3 years ago, what effect would it have had on that situation we were faced with?
This legislation, the only thing it would have done would have been allow us to more quickly get the summary information out of the computers. That's about it.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Keith Behai? Or Beha?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have testimony?
I do. I'm Keith Behai, chairman of the Alaska Public Waters Coalition. The coalition includes sport fishing groups, conservation organizations, former members of the Alaska Water Board, and other individuals, all of whom are concerned about executive actions and legislative and regulatory initiatives affecting Alaska's water resources that would further special interests at the expense of the public interest. We have tracked the progress of this bill since its introduction and are generally pleased with the changes it has undergone in the House. But we were disappointed with the actions of the Senate Finance Committee last week. They adopted a rather meaningless amendment that requires all water withdrawal permittees to also have permits from the Fish and Game Department under AS 16.05.870 to disturb the bed of a water body inhabited by an adverse fish. It is meaningless because this requirement is already in law. Further, the Resources Committee ignored our request for clarifying amendments without so much as a question, let alone debate. We believe there remains room for further improvement in HB 421 that is before you today. Our principal concern is that the term standardized procedure lacks definition. We fear without spelling out exactly what is desired, we may end up with a procedure and a data retrieval system that still may not be very user-friendly and capable of being used by citizens who desire to utilize the database to perform investigative data searches and analyses. DNR's analysis in the fiscal note for this bill describes a system not unlike the inadequate system that we have now. In the attached proposed amendment, the coalition offers suggestions for your consideration. Proposed amendments would require DNR to establish by regulation standardized procedures for processing water right, in-stream flow, and temporary water use applications, for evaluating and determining the public interest, and for issuing permits, certificates, and authorizations. There has been confusion among the public and within state agencies as to what these procedures are. Procedures sometimes are changed with no notice to the public or to applicants. In particular, there is no procedure for evaluating and determining the public interest criteria set forth in the Water Use Act. By establishing these procedures in regulation, they will be formalized, standardized, and clear to the public as well as agencies. Those amendments will require DNR to develop a system that the public can efficiently access to locate and gather surface and subsurface water right information. The amendments list the parameters that would be available for public searches. The amendments are needed because there is currently no way to efficiently locate water rights by river system, watershed, or drainage basin. At times, it can be difficult to locate applicants by names. Little information is available through the present DNR computerized record system. The amendments would ensure that the public and the state, local, and federal government entities can efficiently and accurately search, find, and collect basic information about water rights, in-stream flow of water rights, temporary water use authorizations. Such a system will also aid the DNR in management of this public trust resource. Proposed amendments will require that notice of actions related to water right and in-stream flow applications and temporary water use authorizations are published on the state's internet site. Actions posted to the site would include receipt of applications, notice of public comment periods, written public interest determinations, and issuance of permits, certificates, authorizations, amendments, and orders. This information is not currently available on the state's internet site and is not readily available to the public. These postings will provide increased access to and participation in state water right proceedings. In conclusion, the Alaska Public Waters Coalition supports passage of SB 421 without the Senate Resources approved amendments. We would appreciate an earnest consideration of our strengthening amendments which are attached and urge that they be included in the version that you pass on to the Senate floor. Thank you for considering our views. I'll forego reading the amendments which are in the attachment and get into specifically what data are to be included in this website data system. Thank you again for allowing me to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Behan. Any other questions or comments on this bill? Senator Hoffman?
Thank you. Maybe the department can ask if this bill passes the legislature, what is the time frame to make the information that's included in this bill available on the internet?
Bob?
She wants to answer, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Juhas? No, we don't have an answer to that. Maybe Senator Hoffman, we're going to hold it over a day so that you can get that answer in there. If there are no other questions or comments, I do want to readdress the fiscal note. We have some interesting language from last year's fiscal note that may not flush with testimony that we've had here today. So we'll deal with the fiscal note tomorrow. So, Ms. Juhas, do you want to say something in closing?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can't speak for the department on Senator Hoffman's question, but I would like to clarify for the committee and the previous speaker that the amendments in Senate Resources did not require a permit from the other agencies, only concurrence on the use of the water. And clarify for Mr. Loeffler once again that I was at the meetings that he was at this fall and that the citizen complaints had nothing to do with an archaic computer system. Many of the citizen complaints had to do with actual files being filed in the same city. They had applied for water right and not being able to have access to paper filed water rights in the same city they applied for them.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hughes. Any other questions or comments? Okay, I'm going to hold this bill over till tomorrow. We'll have that information on the fiscal note at that time. Ms. Grimes, have you had a chance to look at Senator Ward's amendment? We're back to the committee's information. We're back to HB 4. Ms. Grimes, have you had a chance to look at that amendment and give us a rough estimation on fiscal impact? Ms. Grimes, at the Oh, you're off now. She's probably...
Yes, sir. This is Lieutenant Grimes.
Oh. Hello, Lieutenant Grimes. Would you... Do you have a comment on the potential fiscal impact, again, in fairly rough terms, because I know you haven't had time to get too much pen to paper on this, of Senator Ward's amendment? And you do have Senator Ward's amendment, don't you?
Yes, I do, sir. I do have it. Been crunching the numbers here, and it looks like... the amendment would probably add 123 additional convictions to the scenario, which in terms of revenue would add 27.1 to a total of 84.3 in revenues.
27.1
is based on our administrative fee we would charge of 220. A total of 27.1. We added that to the 57.2 for the prior on the fiscal note.
All right.
For a total of 84.3 in revenues, and yeah, that's rough, of course.
Okay.
The total then of convictions comes up now to about 383.
Okay.
It looks like cost for long distance transport would add 21.6, short vehicle transport, 3,500, 3.5. And I was still trying to determine the storage cost, and I haven't quite gotten that number, but that's roughly the increases that we're looking at and the revenue that we'd look at.
Total impact, excuse me, I got distracted for a minute. So you have an increase in fees, an increase in costs. What are those costs again?
The increase in cost would be for transporting the long distance vehicles of 21.6.
Okay.
Transport of the short distance vehicle at 3.5.
Okay.
And then vehicle storage was, I was in the middle of calculating that, but I'm going to roughly say about maybe $6,000.
So
just
it's
real quick calculation and eyeballing it.
I understand. Nobody's going to hold you to it.
Okay.
It's a virtual rot wash, is what you're saying. You've got about 27 up,
yes,
and about
actually,
32
yeah.
or 30 down. So, okay. Is that Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the sponsor said that he was, and we included changes in the bill for long-term transportation. Instead of transporting those vehicles out of those communities, have them auctioned off and or donated to nonprofits, which would alleviate the need to have the expense of transportation. And I think that's already incorporated in the bill.
I think it is. You're right. Senator Green?
I think there are long-term transportations in non-rural Alaska, too. Not only flying a car from Bethel to Naples. I think if you end up in Cantwell, you still have to get it to Palmer or Anchorage. I mean, I don't know if that's the difference, but I know the fine is huge, and the fee that they charge is tremendous when they do that.
Senator Ward, could you move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to House Bill number 4, version Q. I move amendment number 18.
Are there objections to amendment number 18? Senator Wilkins.
Clarification. I just want to make sure that we have a sense whether this amendment slows this bill down. Does this amendment jeopardize House Bill 4 passing?
Sense of that?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Ward?
I can't speak for the sponsor, but I can speak for me personally. This makes this bill go forward a lot quicker from my end, because just a little latitude here. I appreciate everything that Representative Roetberg's done, but I want the committee to know I've been to every institution that we have in the state of Alaska, and I'm not speaking as a counselor or a lawyer or anything else, but I can tell you that I know people that are in there that took that first drink because it was legal while they were driving down a road, and they have hurt people. There's just some people that can't take the first drink, Mr. Chairman, and after three times, that's them.
Mayor Wilken?
Just to be clear, I have no problem with the amendment whatsoever. I mean, I'll co-sponsor the amendment. My only concern is the timing of the amendment, and I don't want to do anything to this bill that jeopardizes its passing. That's my only concern. I'm totally supportive of the amendment, but I'm also totally supportive of the bill. I don't want to hurt it, and so that...
I don't either.
I think is... Senator Green?
When you are given the test and it's going to register on the meter, what is the first, if you have not had any, if you've not consumed anything, what is the first thing it's going to, is it going to go from 0.0 to 0.05 to, and then keep gradually going up, or is it with one drink, are you going to automatically go to 0.04?
Chairman? Senator Ward?
Yes, with one drink you go to 0.04.
Depends on that. That's not your body mass.
Well, if you go in and you have a, and maybe it's a double shot, but I know that one drink, right now, two drinks will get you to 0.08. That's my understanding.
Yeah. For a small person, for a small
person. Yeah. Someone as svelte as Senator Green, but...
Okay, well then my next question is then, if you're going to be a purist about this, it should be anything over 0.0.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
As far as the person except having another drink.
Chairman,
it doesn't really matter. I mean, if 0.4 is somewhat arbitrary, then anything above zero is the wrong thing. That has indicated the consumption of alcohol.
Mr. Donnelly?
I think the 4 is a reasonable level for several reasons. First of all the scientific data says that you start to become impaired at 0.05. There is a measurable impairment upon your driving skills at 0.05. Second, the commercial standard, I think this is the commercial standard.
Yes, it is.
Third, it depends on your body mass, how many drinks you can, drink. If you're a very, very small person, say under 80 pounds, one drink's going to push you to this level. If you're an average-sized person, it's going to take two drinks to probably put you over 0.04. Fourth reason I think is a reasonable standard is because it would allow somebody to have, even a small person, to have a drink and then wait an hour and then drive, because you're going to be below 0.04 for sure, by that time. So I think this is a reasonable standard, and those are the reasons why I would support it.
Mr. Chairman? Senator Ward, and then
Thank
Senator
you. Green. And one thing that I want to make very clear on the record here, we're not talking about somebody being a purist and not being able to ever drink again in the state of Alaska. We're talking about people that have two drunk driving convictions, and then we're telling them, if you're going to take a drink, don't drive. They can drink and go drunk walking all they want. We're talking about being 0.04 and driving, not a drunk in public statute, which was done away with back in 84 or 83. We're talking about drunk driving. And I will tell you and tell this committee now, I don't have any other scientific data at all, but I can tell you there are certain people that should not take that first drink, and those are the people that have had two drunk driving convictions. And yes, we may catch a few people that are not alcoholics in this, but I don't really care. They just simply don't need to get two DWIs.
Senator Wilkinson, I just really want to know whether this amendment slows the bill down. So that's.
What do you say?
You got to go 11 votes. Don't
you say anything more.
Okay. Before you answer, Janet, I think you can get a good sense of the Senate anyway around this table. And I don't think this table has a big problem with the amendment. The other thing is that I was talking to Senator Donnelly here just a moment ago, is with the fairly significant change that this bill makes, and we now know the fiscal impact, there's really no reason not to look at Senator Donnelly's amendment as well, because we're going to have to hold the bill over and have a new CS made up. And all the delay that I was trying to avoid, we can't avoid if we take this on. And we're going to take this on, it appears, I think, from the conversation around the table. Janet?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Janet Seitz, staff representing Roper. In answer to Senator Wilkins' questions, I do believe this would slow the bill down. Additionally, informally, I've been informed that the corrections fiscal note would be $885,000, and that law and I'm assuming the public defenders would also have increased fiscal notes due to the amendment.
Senator Wilkins.
For what it's worth, I would commit to Senator Ward, if I'm here next year, I'll co-sponsor the bill that does this.
Mr. Chairman.
I don't want to lose House Bill 4.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Ward, last comment, please.
Last comment. I will introduce this, but we're going to vote on it this year because this is going to save lives. All this other paperwork put together is going to generate fees. And if you tell an alcoholic that you can have a drink, then they are going to have the second drink and we're going to kill people. So this is all a bunch of very well-meaning, feel-good stuff. This gets to the meat of the problem. So I'm not withdrawing it. We're going to vote on and get on record whether or not we're going to let people have that first drink after two convictions of DWI and drive and kill people.
Robin?
Senator Green?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Lehman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Ward?
Yes.
Senator Wilkin?
No.
Senator Osterman?
Yes.
Senator Donnelly?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
6 yea, 3 nay.
Well, Senator Donnelly, might as well offer Q2. As long as we're throwing separate bills on this
thing. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate your situation. You've worked very, very hard on this legislation and your staff, and I know this. I completely understand, you know, the challenge and the frustration level. What Q2 amendment number 16 would try to do, I think it works. It would require that proof of insurance be carried in a motor vehicle. And we all know we're supposed to all have insurance already, and this would just say that the insurance card, and it allows it just to be the card that you get in the mail from the insurance company, you just have it in the vehicle with you, so that even if somebody else was driving your vehicle and they were in a wreck, they'd be able to find that insurance card and say, here's the proof of insurance. And it also, since it's unlikely there'd be a tremendous amount of state enforcement of that, it allows local governments to adopt the same requirement and enforce it on their own if they wish to do so to protect their own cities. They would have to pay for it. State wouldn't pay for it, but it would just allow local governments to take it as an option on their own and enforce it on their own.
Senator Lehman?
Chairman, current law doesn't require somebody to have insurance. It just requires the person to prove financial responsibility, of which insurance is one of them.
It's not true.
That's not true?
No.
Senator Donnelly?
If you do not want to carry liability insurance on your motor vehicle, you're required to go to the Department of Administration and obtain a certificate of self-insurance.
Right, that's what I was getting to.
You have to do that ahead of time.
Right, that's, I know, that's what I was getting to, and so in this amendment, that certificate would satisfy, okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly, this is a well-meaning thing to go ahead and have insurance cards available to those people that are going to be out there, and especially being a wreck, it certainly is there. But I find it somewhat cumbersome if you own a number of vehicles to always have a card available to show that you are indeed insured, and to cause somebody who is well-meaning and has, myself, for example, I've got vehicles I haven't driven for months, and to try and keep up with the different insurance timeframes that are out there and the cards that are coming through, I find it not just cumbersome, but it, all of a sudden it makes me into somebody that's less than law-abiding. So I would speak against the amendment. Unless there is another reason besides the amendment that for carrying a piece of paper.
As I recall on this amendment from the last time we saw it or something like it, you have that. Wasn't that in the first amendment that you had, Senator Donnelly? Was that
The amendment that the committee chose not to adopt before required proof of insurance at time of registration.
Right.
And the committee decided not to adopt that. This is a lot less than that.
Okay. Senator Wilken.
Mr. Chairman, the same concerns I had with Senator Ward's amendment. Do we have a sense of what this does to the bill in the last 2 weeks of the session? I don't want to slow the bill down.
Senator Donnelly?
Everybody's already supposed to be doing this. Everybody's already supposed to have this insurance. And I think everybody gets a card, if they do have insurance in the mail, to be able to put in your vehicle already. If you had multiple vehicles, it'd be a pretty simple thing for the insurance company to send you multiple cards. I know because unless you have a commercial fleet, I know my policy is one for each card. And so they send me multiple copies of a card for each policy I have, which I just try to maintain in my vehicles already.
Senator Wilkwood?
The process then, with this amendment, do we then order up more fiscal notes? Or?
I don't think there's going to.
I guess we could always take this back in rules if we. If we found that it was an onerous fiscal note that we could deal with next year. So, okay.
Senator Donnelly?
Well, since everybody's already supposed to have this, it doesn't require any additional state paperwork. And since anytime anybody's stopped or cited now or in an accident, even if it's not a fault accident, they're arguably required to show proof of insurance or to at least represent that they have insurance to the police officer. I would just think that the fiscal impacts would be virtually null. And the main part of this allows the option to local governments to do it, and it's just an option. If they want to do it for their community, they can. If they don't want to do the enforcement, they don't have to.
Senator Green.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. What we need to remember, though, is it still allows people to carry around a piece of paper that represents what they had on a certain day. It does not mean that they have active insurance. It just the same way that any other requirement for registration or proof of insurance for the, if you have a loan on your car, that's required to be active. But otherwise, you can go get your card, cancel your insurance, and you have the card to prove, to fulfill this requirement. So it really doesn't mean any more people are insured than probably currently are.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I asked this the last time. What What are the penalties? Does it take points off your driver's license? And basically, what good does this amendment do?
Here, Tommy.
I think it raises the awareness among the public that they're supposed to have insurance. As it is right now, a lot of people don't even know that. When they go in and register their motor vehicles, they have to sign. It's actually part of the law I designed it, where they sign an affidavit, which is a little tiny thing like that, that says, I shall maintain insurance at all times as I'm required to do so. A lot of people just sign that. They probably don't even read it. They don't even know. You know, they just kind of blow it off. And we know there's an 15 to 18% uninsured out there. If the additional step of making them aware that, and, you know, there's a new rule, you got to carry your proof of insurance. I bet there's going to be a percentage of people that say, I didn't know I even had to have insurance. You know, and just that awareness, if it can reduce 1 or 2% of the uninsured drivers out there, that's a big deal. And for almost no cost, if you can reduce the number of uninsured drivers, that's something I think is really a good shot, good public policy. It's very expensive to reduce the number of uninsured drivers, and some states spend millions and millions of dollars trying to do that. This is a real tiny, very low-cost educational effort that, if it pays off, would really help.
Senator Olson?
The question, my other question, the penalties, what, you know, does it take points off? And, you know, how many times, if you're getting caught 2 or 3 times, they just give you another citation, they pile up like your parking tickets in your glove compartment?
Yeah, it says that all you got to do is bring the card in and there's no penalty. Just show that you've actually got it. And if you don't have insurance, the penalty is the same as if you don't have insurance. I mean, you know.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I just, to address Senator Lehman's before we vote on it, I'd just like to say that on the second page where it says means a copy of insurance policy, I'd just like to put after the word policy or certificate of self-insurance, just so it's extra clear to everybody that that's an option there.
Senator Stubraum?
It'd just be on page 2, line 4, after insurance policy or certificate of self-insurance.
Chairman. Senator Lee.
I know that I have, on occasion, because I have multiple vehicles that are not used, full-time use, called in or faxed in, start and stop times, as well as got what I call trip insurance, or just a specific movement. And for those, I don't get a card, but I get an acknowledgement of insurance coverage, and not always that I can recall is it in writing. So I'm wondering, I assume that it would be covered under this part here, if you produce in court or in the office, there's some verification that later could say, yes, we had this call. So it's an exercise somebody's going to have to go through to be covered. But I assume there's other people who do the same thing.
I hope this teaches Representative Roper not to send over an act relating to motor vehicles.
Let this be a lesson.
And along with what Senator Lehman says, it's also that person who purchases the new car and calls the agent on Saturday and is immediately insured. There's nothing, and I just think that's a very undue burden or concern to place on someone who, in all respects, is fully insured, and they have to delay and go down and prove it to someone.
Was there Who had the objection? Was there an objection?
I did.
Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the questions that I do have, is there a, of the sponsor of the amendment, is there a definition for motor vehicles or are four-wheelers included with this reason for insurance?
In the Mandatory Insurance Act, there's a definition of automobiles. Also, motor vehicles, there's also a definition of which parts of the state have to do it, which parts don't.
And the last, or the two more comments, one is that not only do I see this thing a burden, because if you're, as Senator Lehman said, that where you've got multiple private vehicles, if you're in and out of a town overnight, and then you get caught for some reason without your vehicle, first of all, you're usually on a pretty tight time schedule. Second of all, having to come back to go ahead and show the court that you've got proof of insurance is also another big inhibition. But the more concern I have is that where you have, in some of the smaller towns, where you have vehicles that are unregistered, usually owned by elderly people, they don't have any insurance. They don't even register them out there. And so with that, you're making these regular law-abiding people now into somebody that's doing something unlawful. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes, does license plate fit under this title? Does license plates fit under this title?
I think the kitchen sink is the thing you want.
Do we require more?
Session is starting if you all are interested in that. Okay. Any other questions or comments on this amendment? Robin?
Senator Osterman?
Yes.
Senator Wilton?
Yes.
Senator Reed?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Lehman?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Ward?
Yes.
Senator Donnelly?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
No.
4 day, 5 day.
I do appreciate you allowing me to offer it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
The motion to vote is out there.
You want a motion?
Actually, I'm going to change my vote on that last amendment.
It's too late, sir.
Motion
I'm
to
sorry.
Rescind. Vote again. Might as well pass.
I doesn't move to rescind our action in failing to adopt amendment number 6.
Sure. Vote on the motion. Robin.
This is a motion to rescind.
And the motion to rescind.
Senator Osterman?
Yes.
Senator Green?
No.
This is a motion to rescind.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Lehman?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Ward?
Yes.
Senator Wilton?
Yes.
Senator Donnelly?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
5 yeas, 4 nays.
Mr. Chairman, that just brings, I'd move amendment number 16.
Check.
At the risk of having that entire debate again, are there any questions or comments? Robin?
Are you ready for a tabling motion?
Senator Wilton?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Senator Wilton?
Yes.
Senator Osterman?
Yes.
Senator Green?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Lehman?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Ronald?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
All right. This There's probably going to be, have to be some consideration on this and rules, depending on the fiscal impact of particularly that First Amendment. But with that, Senator Donnelly, would you give me a motion on this?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move the new Finance Committee substitute as adopted and amended for House Bill 4 from committee with individual recommendations and all the accompanying. You want the, which?
Well, we stated in the, let me just go through the fiscal notes.
Revised fiscal note package as consistent with the chairman's list.
Yes, that is on the record. We will just include this. Okay. With the chairman's fiscal analysis attached.
That sounds good.
Yes, and we have that on the record what it was.
I am going to object.
Okay.
And I would like to speak to my chair.
Okay. Briefly?
Very briefly. Now, Mr. Chairman, I am going to be voting against House Bill 4. I have absolutely no idea what this bill does at this point. It has way too many tentacles and issues in there that some of which I agree with completely, some of which I don't agree with at all. And as a lifelong teetotaler and a practicing teetotaler, I share a great aversion to drunks and drunk driving, alcoholism, and all the things that go along with it. But I do not feel this is the direction we should be going. Thank you.
We're going to have to hold this bill because of the fiscal changes. We really don't have a way to adopt public safety's fiscal notes. They were off the cuff.
We could just do our own fiscal note.
Or we could do it tomorrow. Let's see what it is. I'd hate to send something on the rules. This is going to have some rules problems anyway. The fewer that are the result of just maybe negligent committee work by moving something out, the better.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
And Representative Roepberg wasn't here to respond to some of the questions that were asked on his opinion, whether it would slow them down, and I wonder if we could get those answers from him as well.
Sir Donnelly, could you withdraw that?
My motion to move House Bill 4.
Thank you, Senator. Other objections? Hearing none. We can do something rather quickly here, believe it or not. Senator Wilkin, you have a question?
Are you ready for motion to
move? Yes. 239?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Move reports on 239 from committee with individual recommendations and attached indeterminate fiscal notes.
Objections? Just for the information of the committee, the agency got back to us with the information on the fiscal note that justified their internal fiscal notes. Hearing no objection, 239 has moved from committee with individual recommendation and has been revised fiscal notes. Any other business to come forward, committee? Hearing none, we're adjourned. We are at recess, Senator Donnelly?
Yeah, recess till 4 o'clock.
Till 4 o'clock.